Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast. Everyone, welcome to the podcast today. Another special guest on today from, well, originally from Romania, now living in, I think, Lake Tahoe, Nevada. We have Andrea. So welcome to the podcast, Andrea.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me and for what you're about to bring to our audience. My understanding is you are a bit of an intuitive business coach, working with service-based entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, healers. Would that be right?
Yes, that's correct.
Cool. So I also know, like you said, before we come on, that you're originally from Romania, but now living in the USA. Tell me, how did that come about, first of all?
Yeah, so I came to the States 4 times with a summer program. And maybe some of you have heard about it. It's called Work and Travel. While you are studying in your country, you can pay a lot of money to an agency and come and work to the States. So I did that 4 summers. And after that, I realized how much I relate to the mentality here, how much I felt like home. And not just that, but I felt like I have so much more many opportunities than I had in Romania. And someone can ask me, Andrea, but you could have chose any country in Europe. Why you didn't do that? Because it's so much easier. You don't have to deal like with the papers in the US and like just it's so hard to see my family and friends. But the reason, honestly, why I didn't choose Europe, it's because being Romanian, I already had a label in Europe. I don't know if maybe you are aware that there are a lot of gypsies in Romania and they go everywhere in Europe and they have a bad reputation. And a lot of Europeans, they associate us with gypsies. So I already had a bad label and I'm like, I feel like I will never be treated just for who I am as a person, as a hardworking person. And yeah, that's the reason why I came to the States, because I felt like here, they don't care where I'm from. They love it that they have an accent.
Yeah, I mean, I get that 100%. I was in the police for 13 years. So I know the community that you're talking about, the label that we're talking about, and you know, that everybody kind of does at some point get tarred with a brush, and it's just, well, you're from there, that must mean that's what you're like, or you do this, it's that assumption. So yeah, I mean, I get that, and I get your reasons for that, and really, I guess, trying to shed that skin in a way, and mm-hmm. leave that societal based identity.
Yeah,
maybe on the continent of Europe, and head to the States. So you're in Lake Tahoe, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. Now, you moved to the US from Romania, and what did you do whenever you came to the US?
Oh, I worked in a restaurant. That's like one of the easiest thing to do. It's like, I worked in a restaurant, you make like great money here because people tip like 20% easily. And Americans, they go out a lot in the restaurants. And, you know, I'm a very social person. I like to move. So at that time, it really fit my personality. I was making money. So it was a good balance.
And the restaurant game, how long did you stay in it for?
Yeah, so I worked in the restaurant industry after I stayed to in the States for, I would say 6 years. 6 years, and I had a time when I worked even like two jobs in two restaurants. And then I changed it and I got an office job and I continued with the restaurant. And it's crazy because you see here people, Paul, that they're like 70 and they still work in the restaurant industry. Because I wouldn't say necessarily easy money, but it is easier money than other jobs. And especially the area I am in, it's a very rich area. It's a very popular touristic place with a lot of rich people. So you would really make good money in that industry.
Okay. And before you come on, you mentioned that in 2015, you attended a music festival.
Yes.
Talk to us about that music festival, because it kind of did end up changing your life.
It definitely did. It was a once of a lifetime experience, that's for sure. I hope so, at least. So, yes, I went in Las Vegas. It's a huge music festival that was happening every single year before the pandemic. It's called EDC. And everything was amazing. We had a lot of fun. And what I did at that music festival, what probably 80%, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate, but most of the people do that go to that music festival. I took a drug. And that drug, should I name it?
Yeah, yeah.
That drug, it's called Molly. So it's a form of ecstasy. And what I didn't know at that time, because drugs was not something that was like in my routine or that I would do normally. What I didn't know was that I had an allergy reaction to one of those ingredients from the drug. So actually, instead of going to the festival, I ended up being in the hospital. And I got a seizure. The ambulance came and took me. I literally almost lost my life. I would say my life partner saved my life, because he said how I just lost consciousness and how I started shaking. And even like things were coming out of, like white things coming out of my mouth. So he immediately called the ambulance, and I was unconscious for at least two days in the hospital due to the seizure I had because of the drug. And after that experience, first, I didn't have any medical insurance at that time. And in US, if you don't have medical insurance, you are kind of screwed if something happens, because it's not like in Europe where it's just included, it's from the government, it's like you pay for it. And to pay here for insurance, honestly, it's quite a bit. It's $400-$500 a month. And it's not just that, but when you go to the doctor, you still end up paying a lot. So it's really screwed up the system. But afterwards, I was so, so mad, because I had like several bills in a total of like $30,000. And I couldn't believe it. I was so mad on myself because that happened. I was blaming myself, and then I was shaming, honestly, for the first few years. I couldn't share the story. Like, I couldn't share it with anyone. I didn't tell my parents. I think I only told to one or two really close friends, because I was ashamed that happened because I took a drug. Because as we know, drugs are something more like a taboo subject. So
yeah, they are, but we also recognize that most people at some point in their life have tried one drug or another, and obviously there are different levels of drugs and everything else. You were, I guess, unlucky in a way with that reaction you had. You know, there was an ingredient in that drug that you had a reaction to. However, I also know that even if it would have been the norm that that drug didn't have a certain ingredient, that it may have found its way in there anyway, because what happens with drugs in the market is it's just, you know, they're just filled with different things, you know, yeah. to fill them out, to make money, to do whatever. So obviously, you know, we're going to say the drugs are bad, and that we don't know what's in them. And yeah, I mean, you had that a life-changing experience there. So the seizure, the coma for a couple of days. And then not only that, it's that drug has ended up costing you tens of thousands of dollars after that. And not just that financial expense, but then there is still this ongoing expense with your health. Am I kind of right in assuming that it wasn't just, you know, that happened that once and you know, after you kind of got out of hospital and everything else, then you were okay? Or have you gone on this journey since in development?
Yes. So after that, for over a year, I had like terrible, huge headaches. Honestly, I was barely able like to work, to concentrate. It was like just a constant pain. And I was really worried because I was thinking, oh my God, what if I had like my brain, maybe it's not good anymore, it's not well. I was like really worried. And plus the doctor said that once you are exposed and you have one seizure, then any time throughout your life, another seizure can happen, and it's much easier for that to be triggered. So for me, it's like I really have to be careful. Of course, no drugs, first of all. Second, no alcohol. I mean, it's okay if I'm gonna drink one glass of wine, but for me, it's very important not to like exaggerate. And then I need to make sure I'm hydrated because electrolytes are a big part of my life. I need to stay very hydrated. If I'm not, and if I'm stressed, if I'm not hydrated, if I don't take care of myself, then I have some really weird sensations that are very uncomfortable, that honestly kind of scare me. And when I have my partner next to me, I like really squeeze his hand really hard, and he knows. He's like, oh, you have that again. And I'm like, yes. And it's just, it's hard to explain it, because it's just hard to explain it. Honestly, it's not something that I can really put in words. It's just like, I feel like I'm not myself.
Okay. And you talked about there that post experience, you went through that phase of anger and guilt and shame, you know, and obviously worry as well, that, you know, about what other people are going to think, what other people are going to say, first of all. Then there's the worry and shame about, or the worry around another reaction, about what could happen next. So how did you move through that? I mean, what did you do to help yourself?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was, I remember telling myself, oh my God, I'm never gonna be normal again. That's what I was telling myself. I was so worried, like, I cannot drink anything. Like, what if I go somewhere and another seizure happens? So I was kind of living in this fear of like, oh my God, I'm not gonna be normal again. And I just started after 1 year or a year and a half, after I just lived in a lot of shame, guilt, anger, like all these emotions that are not the most welcome in our life, I just started looking at it like, oh my God, I'm actually alive. I'm actually still here on this planet. And I realized those doctors actually saved my life. So instead of like looking, oh my God, I have to pay all this money, I started reframing it, and I started changing it the way as I looked at that experience. And I'm like, the doctor saved my life. Like, my life, it's priceless. Like, it doesn't have a price tag on it. Like, money, I can make it anytime if I'm alive and healthy. But if I'm not alive, nothing else matters. And then I really started thinking, Paul, like, really God, the universe, whatever you believe in, gave me a second chance on this planet. That's how I started looking at it. So I'm like, there has to be a reason why I'm still alive. I'm like, there has to be a purpose. So that's when I started reframing my experience and how I look at it, that's when I, like, things started changing for myself. And I started looking into personal development stuff. I remember when I bought a course at that point, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I never had any entrepreneurs near me, no one like ever interested in personal development. So it was like, everything that I was discovering was like, wow, mind blowing, because I never been in that world. And I remember buying a course and not being able to proceed with it. And I'm like, I think it's something with my mindset. It just came to me why I cannot move forward. So I just started looking on YouTube, like, how can I change my mindset? And just by doing that, like, I just took the next step and the next step and the next step, and my life just changed moving forward.
Did the internet give you that answer whenever you asked it? How do I change my mindset?
You know, it's like you find all kind of things. Like I found some videos, of course, on the internet. And from there, I bought like another course from a company, Mindvalley. That I would say is the catalyst of my transformation, because with them I was introduced to spirituality. With them I really was able to change my mindset by doing some of their courses. But I would say, no matter what courses, what mentors, what coaches you have, if you are not open and you are not in a state of receptiveness of receiving, no matter what they give you, nothing is going to change.
Sorry, it sounds to me that, I mean, what you're talking about there was moving through those emotional phases. And I just want to be clear, you know, to people listening, that this isn't just related to taking a drug. This is related to having a physical reaction to something that has gone on in your life or been introduced to your body. And that can be any number of things. It just, for you, it was a drug, but it could be any number of things. And you're then left to process emotions and deal with that aspect of it yourself. And, you know, deal with that for, in your case, probably, you know, several years. But what you've done, first of all, was you moved from that stage of anger, you moved through the emotions into almost probably a place of gratitude, of acceptance, of love, for, you know, your partner, for the medical professionals, for that opportunity for life again. So you let go of everything around that situation, and I guess as well it was a release whenever you done that.
Yes.
There was a release there, and then there was a bit of a reframe too whenever you talked about that, because it's like, well, you know, it was bad at the time, but I've been able to move through it. And I'm seeing things now from a different perspective. And that aspect of perception and perspective is something that we all need at some point.
Yes. And then it was really about when I went into the personal development stuff, I was still so ingrained with so many things from my childhood, from the society. You know, I was an average student at school. Like, I never saw myself, oh my God, Andrea, you are so smart, you are so great. Like, I was an average, like, in Europe, I think it's this, like, in London, it's like 8. I was like an 8. That was like my average grade. And because of that, I took those grades, I took them in my life. And I'm like, I'm just an average person. I don't think I can achieve great or big things in my life because I haven't been great in school. And I associated those things. And because of that, I wouldn't allow myself to do great things. And I remember when I was at one event at Mind Valley, and one of the speakers came on stage, and he said something that really, like, really changed my whole perception, how I looked at that thing. He said that it doesn't matter who you were yesterday, it doesn't matter what you did. What it matters is who you want to become and what you are willing to do, to sacrifice to get there. And that was like the first time that it really landed for me, that I'm like, what? I can really like change who I am and how I see myself. And moving forward, I'm like, that's what I'm gonna work forward to become, the person that I wanna be, and not live anymore into my past identity, that it's not serving me, that it's not helping me. It's actually keeping me, it's holding me back.
And that is a past identity, and you know, that is a belief system, and that is what does keep so many people stuck. And living from circumstance is not understanding that we have this ability to change. We have this choice within us to be a different person who is going to then go out and achieve different things based on their state of being. So based on that identity. And yes, that will come through the actions that you're taking and you're doing, but it all leads back to who you're being, and who you're being is that belief system. It's that identity, because what you talked about there was, you know, it was feelings of unworthiness. It was feelings of, you know, that you're not good enough, that you're not deserving. And again, you had to move through all of that in order to be open, to be accepting, to release, to reframe. And then in a way, I guess, to nearly be reborn with who you were, your identity. So release, reframe, and rebirth, I guess.
Yes.
Would that be right?
Yes, that's correct. That's exactly the stages, the process I've been taking myself through so far in my life.
Yeah, and that's massive for people out there that, right, well, now we actually have a kind of plan that we can say, right, well, we've gone through the release phase, we've gone through the reframe, and we're now at the rebirth. And like you said, well, that's actually the method that you're using now to help other people, but it's based on experience. It's not just based on knowledge. It's not just based on doing a qualification. It's those things will back that up. And, you know, you have education, but having the experience is different. And that's the difference between knowing a thing and understanding it. Understanding is experience. It's that moment that's going through it. And then being able to take people through it themselves is you stepping up and operating on another level. And in a way, I guess, maybe more living your life's purpose, that's why you're still here, that there was a reason that everything was connected, and you know, we connect the dots looking back.
Yes, I have no doubt about it. And honestly, like, so many years, Paul, I was still living in that old identity, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not doing enough, and I was like comparing myself with other people, other entrepreneurs. And because of that, I took so many courses, so many certifications. Like, I had a few years when I was strictly like in a student mode. And honestly, if we don't apply, if we don't go and experience that knowledge, we're gonna forget it. Because that's how we are as human beings. First of all, if we don't associate the knowledge with the emotion right then and there, we're gonna forget more than, I don't know, 50%, and then the rest of the 50% is gonna be forgotten in the next 4 days again if we don't do something to to apply it, to implement it. So what I want to encourage you is when you are learning something, when you're studying something, when you hear a new idea, ask yourself, how can I take a tiny bit from this information and just go and teach it to someone and just go and apply it? Ask yourself, where in my life can I just go and apply this in my life right now? Because that's when it's going to stay with you. If not, we're just gonna forget it.
And one saying that comes to my mind there is knowledge is power. Okay, knowledge is power, but knowledge isn't power. What's power is the application of knowledge, and it's doing the thing, and that doing is through experience. So knowing a thing isn't enough. And you touched on it there, you know, about yourself doing the qualification, doing the certifications, and learning more. And I see so many people fall into that trap. And unfortunately, from my experience, I've seen it more in the personal development space, where there's this almost onus or belief that you just have to keep doing the next course, and then you do the next course, and then you do the next course, and you do the next one. And then, you know, yeah, you have all these courses, but then you're still left wondering, what do I do? Or you're waiting for this sign, you know, to pop up and hit you in the face, the universe to put something in your lap. And, you know, I know that you mentioned about that you feel that it was, you know, God and the universe giving you that chance and kind of speaking to you. But a lot of people think that they're like going to get a text message or something from the universe to tell them exactly what to do. And it's not like that. You kind of have to tap into it. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, life is so much about the meaning we give to things. That's all it is. And as we both know, because we are both fans of James, it's so true. He repeats that so much, that as within, so without. Like whatever we experience outside in the world, it's our own perception. It's our reality. Because I'm sure you've heard that story before, where you show people the same object or they have exactly the same experience. They go on the same path, but what they see, it's totally different, because it's based on who they are as a human being, on their core beliefs. And that's how we perceive the world. So next time when you find yourself maybe judging someone or getting mad, or ask yourself, like, what is my belief around that? And just start taking some responsibility about how your life is. Because when you start taking responsibility about everything that's going on in your life, you're also going to realize that you also have the power to make it better.
Yeah, those are words that I use a lot. Responsibility. You know, your responsibility. It's up to you to do the things. You know, everything is internal. It's belief systems. It's about breaking that down. It's about changing your perspective, changing your perception, and understanding that other people will always operate from their perception based on their beliefs, what they believe to be true. It's not that they're, you know, wrong or trying to be wrong or trying to be hurtful or being intentional in the things that maybe say or do. They're only ever acting from what they believe to be true. And whenever we tell somebody, well, that's not true, then the first thing that they'll step up and do is they will argue the point. And the more that they do that, then the more they solidify their own belief. So whenever we come up against challenges and trying to help people move through situations, which is, you know, effectively what you're now doing and you're helping people with, then we have to recognize that we got to meet them where they're at. We got to meet them where they're at. And then we got to try and take them where we feel that, obviously, we believe that they need to go to move through the process in order to be better. And that not everybody's going to be able to do it either.
Yes, yes. And I think what we need right now, Paul, a lot in the world is compassion. We need so much compassion towards, first towards ourselves, because we are our worst critics, but then towards other people, because as you were just saying, it's so, so important to remember that each and every person has their own truth. And when we think about it in that way, that that's their truth, it doesn't have to be mine. And you don't have to agree with it, to accept it. You just have to realize that they have their truth, I have my truth. Is there a way to still have a conversation, a human conversation, having different truths? And being able to stand in that, in that. You are muted.
Yeah, sorry. It's being open to that idea that I guess that there's maybe more than one truth out there, if we can be open to that, and moving ourselves through that first and foremost. I mean, for you, it was on a personal level going through a traumatic experience and then building up a level of knowledge and understanding and resilience, and tools and techniques and methods, and trial and error, and moving through that, that's brought you to where you are today. And I understand that in January you're releasing, or you've something going on around resilience, is that right?
Yes, so on January 11th at 11:11 a.m. Pacific time, I'm doing my first live event. I'm going to do a three-part live video series, and I'm really excited because I'm going to bring to the world some amazing tools, a different understanding on how to become resilient, you know, because we live in a very uncertain world, and maybe people are still waiting, oh, we're gonna get to normal, but that normal, it's not gonna be anymore. So instead of waiting for things outside of you to change, it's how can you prepare yourself for no matter what's going to happen, so you can still show up in your life, in your business, and to feel proud, you know, of the way you are showing up.
There's always something. There will always be something in life that will challenge us. And we're always going to be going through something. So having a formula, having a guide, having a process, having a plan is what that is, to deal with traumatic events. And traumatic events will vary from person to person. We have yours on one maybe end of the spectrum, and then we could have on another end of the spectrum, which would be equally traumatic for someone, but would be perceived to be on a different level, where they were maybe in school and they were 5 years of age and they were told that, no, that was the wrong answer, and people laughed at them. And then there's been trauma built up from that. So everybody has their own levels and understanding and experiences around trauma. But what we all need, and I do believe that we all need, is a way to move through that, a way to understand it, and a way to develop resilience. Just like the body needs ways to fight illness and disease, and to ward off bad viruses that may be about at this place at any given point in time throughout history. So that is happening on the 11th of January. So where is that happening? Where can people get access to that free training?
Yes, so it's going to be held in a private Facebook group, and I'm planning to do the training on a Zoom and invite people on Zoom with me. I'm a projector, if you guys heard about human design. So I really like feed my energy and I just feel in my element when I am like in a group with people. Like that's my jam, that's my space. So because of that, I'm not planning to do the training where I'm just gonna come and talk to you. I'm planning to go and like do it interactive to really be experiential, like for you to have an experience. Yes, we were just saying, how can we combine the knowledge with the emotion? So that's exactly what I'm planning to do, to combine the knowledge with the emotion. So when you are leaving from that training, you can really implement, apply, and remember what you have learned. And you can find me either on my personal page, Andrea Thomas, on Facebook, and over there it's a link. Or if you guys are on Instagram, is Andrea Thomas Coaching, and it's Andrea with double E. Those from Europe probably know. And over there in my bio, you will find a link that is going to direct you towards the registration.
Awesome. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll get that hooked up in the show notes for anybody who wants to jump into that, which by the sounds of it is a three-part interactive experiential workshop series on resilience.
Yes. And how to build your emotional resilience for 2022. That's the name of it.
Okay. Awesome. Andrea, it's been great to chat to you, but just before we go, would you have any recommendation for a personal development book, audiobook, text, or anything that you would say, well, for me over the last couple of years, this has been a standout for me, and that if you haven't done so, go and check it out.
Yes, it's called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And honestly, it's a book that I even started buying for my clients. Like when I started working with someone, I just buy it for my clients and they send it to them, because it's such a good book to help you understand how we sabotage ourselves. And there is such a beautiful, beautiful mantra that I'm keep telling myself even right now, like almost every single day I remember about it, and I tell it to myself. It's something like, I expand in love, abundance, and success every single day as I inspire others to do the same. And that really stayed with me, and I'm remembering it every single day.
Awesome. That what you're doing, that repetition, that remembering is reprogramming. You're just reprogramming your own identity, your own belief systems, and what you want to get from the world and what you want to give out as well. So thanks for the recommendation. So that was The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. Your workshop series is running on the 11th of January. So like I said, I'll hook that up in the show notes. It has been fantastic to chat with you. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your experience and your own story, because I know that is personal and that it has taken you a little bit of time to get to and to talk through that. So that's important for you being able to share that, and for other people out there who maybe have been hard on themselves and think that, well, they've done something at some point, that they're feeling shame or guilt around it. But there is light there. There is a reframe possible. Release, reframe, and rebirth.
Yes.
And maybe you'll take one or two of my listeners through that in 2022. So thanks again for coming on. It was great to chat.
Thank you, Paul. And thank you to everyone that has listened. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.